The testimony reads, at 10 or 11 years of age, I was baptized. I did it because a few other kids were doing it as well. I was baptized, accepted into the church, but that was it. I was neither questioned nor discipled. Faith for me was a mental thing. Either you believed that Jesus was real or you didn't. However, later as an adult, I determined that my belief in Jesus must not be real because of the way that I lived. In fact, I lived that way until I was 50 years old. My lifestyle eventually got me into trouble, mandating me to attend a local Celebrate Recovery. I continued to struggle with a belief in Jesus through those years until something dramatic took place in my life. I was 58 years old when on a Sunday morning, about a week before Christmas, I began having severe pain in my jaw and chin area. It really began to concern me, so I went to the emergency room in Clovis. They told me I was having a heart attack. And so they called an ambulance and rushed me to Lubbock. In Lubbock, I was told I was going to have an angiogram and they were going to attempt to put a stent into the main artery of my heart. They said it would only be a 20-minute procedure, but unknown to the doctor, that would be far from the truth. I later learned that once they put me under, every one of my arteries began to spasm. This caused my heart to stop. With defibrillator paddles, they started my heart back up. They attempted a second test, but the same thing happened. My heart stopped. They fired up the paddles, hit me with another jolt, bringing me back into the world of the living. Those 20 minutes lasted 3 hours. It wasn't until an hour or so after I woke up and was back in my room that I became aware of a very vivid memory I had while the doctors struggled to save my life. I remember agonizing in the greatest pain I had ever felt. I also recalled seeing flames of fire leaping about me and around me. I myself was also on fire. I felt I was burning from the inside out. I felt like this was hell. I thought, I am in hell. I don't know if this was a premonition or a dream or a vision, but what I did know was that there was something I needed to do. I knew I needed Jesus Christ in my life as Savior and Lord. At that moment, just as I knew hell was real, I knew that God was real and that He was giving me another chance at life. 1 week after being released from the hospital, I fully surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. 1 week after that, I was baptized into this church, this time for real. I'm now 60 years old. And this past year has been the best year of my life. God has delivered me from a 36-year meth addiction. And my heart problems have gone away too. If you don't know, I want to introduce you to the author of that testimony, Steve Mullins. Steve, will you stand and wave and... He wasn't real hip on writing this up for me, but he did, and I'm thankful that he did. But let me ask you this. What were you thinking as I was reading Steve's testimony? Were there those who thought, yeah, those kind of things happen in life? Those hard times, those mountains that are insurmountable, freak accidents. Those kind of things do happen in life. And Steve was lucky that he was able to get through it. Some don't. Or did you think, our God is so great? Our God is so good that he walked this man through this time in his life and brought out his salvation on the other side. The world views circumstances the way I described it in the first incident. We as believers have a right to look at it in the second way. You and I as believers not only have the right to know that God intervenes in our life and walks through us or with us through difficult circumstances, but we also then have the responsibility to view our circumstances and experiences in light of God's presence walking with us and God's hand upon us. We have the right to believe God's interventions, but we had the responsibility to interpret these things this way. And the reason that we have this right is because of our passage today, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. You know, I bet that it's not only likely that, or probably that you've heard this passage before, but it's likely that this passage is one of your favorites. Maybe you've marked it in your Bible. Maybe you have a little magnetized thing on your refrigerator with that verse. Maybe you've memorized this verse. And maybe you've seen God work in your life to fulfill this verse. But this verse is indeed a popular verse. And the reason for its popularity is because this passage holds within itself the promise that can enable us to live our lives, to walk through this earth with peace. With peace characterizing our life and decisions. In other words, to live life where there's no more worrying. To live life where there's no more fearful panicking. To live where there's no more sleepless nights. Where there's no more sick, acidic stomachs, worrying about what tomorrow's going to bring. This passage, and please hear me, holds within itself the promise that can enable us, can truly, really, practically enable us to walk through this life with peace. with strength and with joy. This passage, if we will attach our faith to it, if we will believe it and receive it, this passage can allow you to sit back and just go, "Ah, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to get uptight or upset, because I know God's got this. I know whatever it is, whatever has happened, whatever I've done, I know that God is constantly working in my life, and He is vigorously working right now in the midst of this, and I know that I can trust my Father." And so, I don't have to carry this burden, because I know God's got this. Peace, a life of strength. Now, before we go any deeper in this passage, I want to look a little closer at the author, the Apostle Paul. Please understand that the Apostle Paul did not write this passage as a newbie to suffering. This is not written by someone who just graduated from seminary and is filled with idealistic views and gonna help mankind and save the world. This was an older preacher who has walked through the grit and the mire of human suffering. The Apostle Paul was shipwrecked and left for dead. He was beaten with rods many multiple times. He was hounded by people hating him and trying to bring him down. He was imprisoned, put in prison because of his faith numerous times. He suffered with an incurable ailment that God said, "I'm not going to heal. My grace will be sufficient for you." And Paul called that incurable ailment "my thorn in the flesh," and yet he walked with it every day. The Apostle Paul struggled with temptation to the point of crying out. We see this in Romans 7, to the point of crying out, "Oh God, what a miserable, wretched, worthless man that I am, because I keep letting you down." Yeah, Paul was touched at many points of hardship and suffering, and yet he wrote the words, and we know that God is working in our lives in all things to bring about good. Paul knew that all of his trials and his sufferings, now hear me, please, were part of the plan of God. He knew that God had purpose in his life, and that God was leading him through a divine design. Furthermore, he knew that even his sins, failures, and bad choices were not beyond the work of God's redemption. Here's what Paul did. Paul trusted, first of all, the sovereign plan of God. He knew that before he was ever born, that God had set his steps. Now we veer off of those, that ideal plan of God, from time to time. But God works in all things in our life to call us back. Paul trusted what God's plan was for his life. And secondly, Paul trusted the providential way in which God was going to lead him. Paul knew, God, if I were you, man, I would take this thing from me right now. If I were you, I would not allow this trial. If I were you, I'd lift me out of this pit, out of this dungeon, out of this prison, and just take me home. But I'm not you. But I trust you. Because you are Creator God. I trust your plan, and I trust how you are going to get me there. The sovereign plan, the providential hand or the providential way were the keys for Paul understanding all the suffering, all the trial, all the pain and all the problems he had to endure to realize, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to lie down. I'm not going to raise the white flag. God, I'm going to walk every step because I know you are vigorously active in my life. And you are using everything, all things, everything to accomplish your plan and for good. We say, okay, Paul, that's marvelous. Thank you for sharing that with us. But Paul, how do we do that? How can we, right now, in this place, how can we implement that truth into our lives? How can we understand this in such a way so that when we encounter hardship, trial, difficulty, when we just have a bad day, how can we walk through those times without fear, without freaking out, but in the strength of God's peace? Paul would say, I'm glad you asked, for I'm going to tell you. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans 8. And I'm just going to read this one passage, but we're going to jump into this passage with our spiritual shovels, and we're going to dig this thing up to find out how we, like Paul, can stop living with the cloud of worry pouring all over us, how we can stop getting so freaked out when our plans change or when a different direction must be taken, how we can walk with God. And even in those days, walk in peace. Please follow me as we discover this. Romans 8:28, Paul writes, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." These three points I'm going to bring to you this morning that we've got to take hold of, doggedly take hold of. Point one is to cleave to this promise. Point two is to believe in God's power. And point three is to receive the profession that he makes. Point one, to cleave to this promise. I chose the word cleave because to cleave to something is to grip it so tightly that you just don't let go. Hold tightly to this promise. You know, like every other promise of God, it, you know, sits in your Bible until you pick it up by faith and take it with you. This promise will continue to sit in your Bible until you apply your faith to it. That's the way it is with all of God's promises. But the exciting news is that Paul says, listen, you can trust God to do this. I'm telling you, I'm promising you, you can trust God to do this. You can cleave to this promise. In the first phrase of this passage, Paul writes these words, "And we know." Now, I've actually shared this information with you before. I don't remember what circumstance or what venue, but it's vitally important in understanding this phrase, "and we know." In the Greek language, there are essentially two words translated "know." These words will come in, you know, various forms, adjective, adverb, all of that. But there are two root words that from the Greek, they're translated "know." The first word is gnosko. The second word is oida. Now, these two words have similar definitions. They mean to know someone or know something intimately by experience. To know someone or something in a personal, experiential way. The difference, however, is this. Gnosko means to know something in an experiential way, but to know them in a progressive manner, where I will know them tomorrow better than I know them today, and I will know them a week from now better than I knew them last time. The word oida, however, means to know someone or something in a personal, experiential manner, and I will know that person or know that thing as well right now as I ever will in my life. And the exciting thing is Paul uses the term oida. You would think he would say, you can know this today, okay? And the more you apply your faith to it, the better you will know it. And then one day when you get to Jesus, then you'll know it completely and fully. But he doesn't. He says, this passage is so important. Listen, this passage is so important to God that we get this. This is how God wants us to live. And he's making that point. Paul says, God wants us to know that we can understand and we can know intimately this truth by experiencing it. And we will know it in its fullness because we will experience it and see God do it. Isn't that cool? And this we know that we know that we know that we know that we know, because when you're out there and the world hits you, and the enemy attacks you, and circumstances befall you, and the first thing you've done in your prior time was to kind of freak out, oh no, this ruins my plans, oh no, we're going to have to change everything. Oh no, that scares me to death. Oh no. After today, when you go out there and the world hits you and Satan attacks you and your circumstances have you walk into a big hole where they drop off, your first instinct is to go, will be to go, oh no. Oh no, that's too hard. Oh no, that scares me to death. But then, in that split second, the Spirit of God will remind you, and this I know. God works in my life, bringing all things together for good. And this I know, God's got this. A powerful, wonderful, tremendous meaning where God is in your life moving things around, where God is in your life circumventing circumstances, where God is in your life opening opportunities, where God is in your life shuffling the circumstances around, so that if you will walk with him and trust him and continue to surrender your heart to him, God will be able to form fit the circumstances in your life so that when you cross that goal line, your life will be characterized with a holy good. I'm going to have to finish this next week. So this morning, leave with this truth. That in all things you think, in every way you think you know, this is holy truth that you know. God is at work in your life. God is at work in your life right now. God is at work in your life right now in your present circumstances. God is at work, form-fitting the circumstances of your life together. He's molding you. He's teaching you. He's instructing you. And he's building in you a holy good. And when you look back, you will be able to see his handprint every step of the way. And you will say, God, you do it. You did it. You do it. This I know. I've seen it so many. This I know. And as he's done it before, he's going to do it again. Wherever you are, whatever circumstance you're in, the hand of God is leading, guiding, and with you. And if you will keep your spirit, your heart open to his leading, he will continue to amaze you, building holy good in your life. Man, that's good news, isn't it? That is wonderful, wonderful news. Drive it in your heart. Teach your brain to think about it. And go out and live it. And then you can say, oh, I remember. God's got this. God's got this.